This year, as Boston marks the 40th anniversary of a court-ordered busing desegregation plan that altered the course of race relations in the city forever, we've been hearing voices from that era. We've heard stories of the pain, fear, and anger of students who are affected. This morning, WBUR's Dolores Handy brings us the story of a teacher whose experience led her to begin documenting the daily struggles in her diary.
Their images indelibly imprinted in the collective psyche of the people of Boston. The angry taunts, the violent confrontations, the political posturing, the heartbreaking scenes of children being targeted on their way to school.
My room was in the front of the building on the second floor, so I had a view of the buses coming up the hill.
Ione Molloy was an English teacher at South Boston High School when the buses rolled that first day. She says it took a while to actually start classes.
I think the students who came really wanted to learn, and once the doors were closed, we could more or less keep the turmoil outside.
It was outside those classrooms where tensions boiled over. There was pushing and shoving while walking through the hallways, and there was increasing violence outside the building.
It wasn't until there was a disturbance at a bar called the Rabbit Inn, where the police came in and beat up the patrons, who they said were antagonizing them and using slanderous words against them. And then there was a black man who was caught in the turmoil and beaten up in the streets, and things just seemed to escalate from there.
It was around that point she began to keep a diary of the struggles she witnessed and experienced at South Boston High.
The first date of my diary is Monday, October 7, 1974, as I filled out the daily racial census form in my home room. Number of blacks, number of whites, other minorities.
She says trying to teach wasn't easy, and at times she was genuinely afraid.
Oh, I had nightmares. Everybody was afraid.
It was like no other school I have been at or experienced. Tremendous amount of pressure that was placed on kids to get an education.
Albert Holland was the first black administrator at South Boston High School.
I usually drove to everywhere I went. I had to go and park my car at the Bayside Mall, board a school bus that was painted blue, identifying staff. That would be part of the caravan of buses that went up to South Boston. So all your minority staff at South Boston High School came up by bus. So you had your minority teachers along with your minority students riding the school bus up to South Boston High School, going through the South Boston community and greeted with all kinds of racial taunts and derogatory statements.
Any attempt at normalcy came to a head when a black student stabbed a white student.
That was December 11, 74.
Ione Molloy, reading from her diary, Southie Won't Go.
Students were running up the stairs to see what had happened. I told them to go back. A voice on the loudspeaker ordered the white students to leave the building. One boy took a black billy club from his locker outside my classroom and hid it under his jacket. Only the black students, Dawn, Lewis, and Jackie, were in the classroom. Jackie had her head down. She had been crying. "Why are we at South Boston High?" they asked. They didn't want to be.
As they sat in the classroom, the situation outside was increasingly threatening.
I looked out the window and saw the white boys coming around behind the school and down the embankment, then heard them banging on the outside door at the rear of the building, now locked. I asked the police in the corridor to send for more help and turn out the light in the room.
Meanwhile, plans were made to get them out of the building.
All the black students had been moved to three rooms on the second floor, the center back area of the building, the safest side, to wait for police reinforcements so they could leave. A mob of mostly young people had tried to storm the building and had been barely held off. The school buses, too, had tried twice to get through the mob, then turned back.
That incident closed the school. It didn't reopen until January.
That particular point in Boston history was a flashpoint.
Donna Bivens is Boston Busing Project Director at the Union of Minority Neighborhoods, an organization promoting civic engagement, which has been studying desegregation in Boston public schools.
We talk about it as busing, but it's much bigger than busing. And often when people look at it as busing, what they're looking at is just one tactic. The goal, it was really about quality education for everyone.
She says goals of race and class equity, democratic access to resources and decision-making, and demanding excellence from public institutions remain elusive. Yet, says former teacher Ione Molloy, Boston's come a long way.
I think it's probably a better city. It's a more integrated city. It's a more accepting city. It's a more open city. And I think all of that is good. I just don't think the desegregation plan as devised and implemented was good.
On that final point, there's almost universal agreement. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Dolores Handy.